Welcome in, or welcome back into the whole show. Our second hour rolling on this Monday, this Bronco Monday. Broncos Chargers going at it tonight for Monday Night Football and helping us set the stage a little bit better. Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos. He's our Broncos insider. Zach, my man, we keep saying must win. I said must win against the Colts. They didn't, but I guess they didn't must win that one because I'm saying they must win again against the Chargers tonight.
Yeah, this one really is a must win, Brady. They had to get at least one of two between the Chargers and the Colts, and well, they didn't get it against the Colts, so now this one does set up for a must win. And Brady, get this, if the Broncos win, not only will they be second in the division, they'll only be one game back of the Chiefs. If they lose, well, then they're in a big hole because they're two games back of both the Chiefs and the Chargers, and they wouldn't have the tiebreaker over the Chargers. So this is a huge game.
All right, Zach, so take us through this thing. Obviously, the Broncos are riddled with injuries. The Chargers have some too, though. I mean, Keenan Allen, is he playing tonight? Everything I read was doubtful. Obviously, we know Joey Bosa's out. What's the status on Allen at this point?
Yeah, Keenan Allen is very likely not going to play, which is a big boost for the Broncos because the Broncos are going to be starting a rookie cornerback in Damari Mathis opposite Pat Surtain. And so not having two great wide receivers to face really helps the Broncos. If they want, they could have Pat Surtain follow Mike Williams or just make sure wherever Mike Williams is that they have safety help over top. So it's a big benefit for the Broncos.
No question. I mean, that was something I was trying to pay attention to all week was what it would look like for Keenan Allen. And you talk about Damari Mathis. What about Michael OJ Mudia too? Are we going to see a lot of him tonight or what's I know, you know injury was a concern for him as well.
Yeah, he's likely going to be brought off the injured reserve today for the game, but I don't expect to see a big dose of him specifically when it comes to the defensive side. Maybe you see him worked in on a couple of special teams units, but he's still weeks away from really getting an opportunity. But it's Damari Mathis' position to lose right now.
What is your confidence level in him? Obviously, some big shoes to fill. Ronald Darby. I mean, we could debate all year who the biggest loss was between Garrett Bowles, Javonte Williams, back to Tim Patrick. But I think we all know Ronald Darby was just so important to this defense.
Yeah, he really was. Ronald Darby was an excellent number two cornerback for the Broncos. Really important because then you didn't have to really worry. You didn't have to worry about safety help over top. You would put Pat Surtain on the best receiver, and then you felt great Ronald Darby going up against anyone else. But now, with a rookie, for being a rookie, I am very confident in Damari Mathis. Now, that's a big, asterisk next to it for a rookie. But that's why the Broncos, they should use safety help. They should do everything they can to help him out. But I've really liked what I've seen from him, especially being a rookie. Playing cornerback as a rookie is a really tough position, and I think he's done a good job so far.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. How about the offensive line for Denver? It's kind of been musical chairs all year, and then obviously the news of Garrett Bowles just adds to that. What are we looking at for a starting front line tonight for Denver?
Yeah, well, we don't officially know, but what I expect it to be is Calvin Anderson taking over that left tackle spot, then Dalton Risner. He's been dealing with an injury. I do expect him to play as well. And then, of course, the only guy that you can really count on this offensive line is Lloyd Cushenberry. Then Quinn Meinerz, I expect him to be back, which is going to be a huge boost for the Broncos because he's only played 18 snaps for the Broncos so far. And then at right tackle, you're hoping that you're going to see Billy Turner, but Brady, we've been saying that for weeks now. I would expect him to play, but if not, then you're looking at Cam Fleming again. So, I mean, just a big shakeup again on the offensive line.
And how big of a boost would it be? Well, both Quinn Meinerz and Billy Turner, we're still kind of in the wait and see mode for a guy like Quinn Meinerz, but I think the expectations were there. How much of a boost would it be if both Turner and Meinerz are going tonight?
It would be a big boost, especially with Quinn Meinerz, because he has played a lot this offseason and in training camp. For Billy Turner, I really think I'm really trying to calm my expectations on him, just because he's a guy that has not played football since last year, did not do anything in training camp, did not do anything in the offseason program, but eventually he's supposed to be an upgrade for them. But getting Quinn Meinerz back, I think, would be huge.
Looking at this game tonight, obviously another nationally televised game, Zach. The pressure has certainly been on Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson. I mean, in many respects, they've both kind of shared the laughing stock status, at least with the national media. Fair or unfair, we've been hearing it. It's just a huge, huge night for them. But we also know Russ he's banged up too.
Yeah, this is it's a huge game. I mean, primetime games, Brady, have not been kind to the Broncos, have not been kind to Russell Wilson or Nathaniel Hackett. And you know what? The Broncos are saying, with everything they've done with Russell Wilson this past week, that he has no excuses. So I'm not going to give him any excuses. If he's a full participant in practice 2 out of the 3 days last week, then I'm saying he should be ready to go. There's no excuses with Russ, although you do still keep an eye on that shoulder. You don't want him to get hit. And the guy that scares me a ton is Khalil Mack. We saw Khalil Mack have a monster game when he was with the Raiders against the Broncos, going up against Michael Schofield many years ago. Then he kind of died off. Wasn't an elite player, was a really good player. But right now, he's third in the NFL in sacks with 5 coming into this, only behind Bradley Chubb and a couple of guys that have just one more sack than him. So that's someone that really scares me when it comes to protecting Russ.
Scary anyway. And then when you look at the you know, their offensive line status, it becomes something we should definitely be paying attention to, no question about it. But as far as Hackett and Russ, I mean, do you start to see this thing clicking tonight? I mean, we've been asking that question. I kind of thought against Indy, that first drive, you see Broncos move down the field, Russell Wilson rolls out, takes off for a nice rush, and I thought, okay, we're here, we're going to start seeing this offense go, and then unfortunately the rest of that game unfolded and it was field goals galore. Will we start to see it, and perhaps is that going to be on Monday Night Football?
Brady, if we're ever going to see it, it would be tonight, because not only did the Broncos have a mini bye, it's the longest break that they're ever going to have in between games. But this Chargers defense is not good. They have a lot of good pieces on their defense, but the team is not as good as all of their individual pieces. They give up the third most points per game. If it's ever going to wake up, it is going to be tonight. So they better drop at least 20 points.
Isn't that something? We're like, come on, give us 20. Can they find a way to get 20? But I love what you say about the Chargers, because I felt the same way. I think the Chargers have the better pieces. They have a better roster, maybe in the entire AFC West, but it's all not clicking together, which is why, you know, we're looking at a Chargers team that I think is quite beneath their, at least their fans' expectations going into the beginning of the season.
Exactly. And now they have put two wins together, so now they're starting to heat up. But the defense, I mean, you look at it, you can make an argument that when healthy, they have like 4 elite players on the defensive side of the ball. Now, they're without one of them in Joey Bosa, but you could still make an argument, 3 elite players, and they're one of the worst defenses. So that's what it's going to be about, just maintaining, not letting Derwin James ruin the game, not letting Khalil Mack ruin the game, and just not letting those playmakers beat you, because you can beat the rest of their defense pretty darn easily.
Zach Stevens joining us. The defense has been the bright spot for the Broncos for the most part. They've been battling some injuries as well, too. We talked about Darby, but help should be on the way tonight, and I want to get to that in a moment. But what about Josie Jewell? His situation, probably not a go tonight, right?
Nope, no Josie Jewell. So Alex Singleton and Brady, he's been a really nice player for the Broncos. I mean, he was a great player. He was a very productive player for the Philadelphia Eagles the past 2 seasons, led them in tackles both years, and he's kind of picked up right where he left off. He's not going to make any game-changing plays for you, but he is exactly what you want from a backup. He's someone that can come in and just make you feel comfortable about the position. So I expect a lot of Alex Singleton tonight.
What about the safety position? Are we going to see Justin Simmons back with the Broncos tonight?
Yes, that's going to be a big boost. I fully expect to see Justin Simmons, and they need it because Caden Stearns is ruled out. He's been dealing with a little bit of a hip injury these past few weeks, and it flared up again this past week, so they're going to hold him out. And that's just all the more reason why it's huge that the Broncos are going to have Justin Simmons back. And Justin's a guy that's had a lot of success going up against Justin Herbert.
Well, what do you think, Zach, before we let you slide out of here, man? Seeing four and a half point dogs for the Broncos tonight, and what feels certainly like a must win to keep Broncos country in a positive way. How does this one shake out?
I think that 4 points is just about perfect, Brady. Unfortunately, I think it's about the right line. I think the Broncos are going to drop this one. The thing that gives me the most encouragement is the extra long bye week that the Broncos had, or the extra long time off that the Broncos had to prepare for this game. And the other thing is desperation. We saw it 2 weeks ago when the Broncos played the Raiders. The Raiders were the desperate team. They were searching for their first win. They had to get the win in order to keep their season alive. And that desperation, you could see it on the field. The Broncos are the more desperate team tonight, and that's why if they have a shot, it's going to come down to that. The offense finally starting to click and just the desperation kicking in. But I can't predict this team. You know, my gut tells me the Broncos are going to pull this out because of that desperation. My mind tells me, are you crazy? Look at the offense you've seen over these first five games of the season. They can't outscore Justin Herbert.
I know. My head, my heart playing tricks on me, too. This is the last one. If you lose to the Chargers tonight, now New York and Jacksonville become, obviously, must win games. They're better than we thought, both of those teams. And then you have the bye week. Zach, we're not making a coaching change if the Broncos lose the next three games, are we?
Likely not, but if they do lose the next three games, and especially if it's because the offense is not clicking, then anything's on the table, especially with the new ownership group. They had nothing to do with the hiring of Nathaniel Hackett. And if it gets to the point where they don't think fans are going to be showing up, where they think the sellout streak might stop after the bye week, then they may just have to make a move at 2-6. Because, Brady, remember, the first half of this schedule was so much easier than the back half of this schedule. So they could be sitting there and saying, if we're 2-6, what's it going to look like after this season? And obviously, you're not trading Russell Wilson. You're not making a quarterback change at any point, not just this year, in the next many years. So the head coach position would be one. I still think that they would end up just being patient with him because it's so early in the process. But if they're 2-6 at the bye, anything's on the table.
Wow, isn't that crazy? I mean, what are we talking about? It's nuts. We're already there at this point, which, again, is why this game means so much. Zach, I know you'll have plenty of pregame stuff for us to check out at DNVR Broncos.
Absolutely, and I really appreciate it, Brady. Love being on, and I hope I'm wrong so that we can keep a competitive season going this year.
I hope you're wrong, too, man. I usually don't ever hope you're wrong, but I do hope you're wrong tonight. We'll catch up with you later in the week, my man.
Right on. Thanks, Brady.
Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. He kind of likes the spread, the 4.5. It's tough. It's tough. I mean, the Chargers, what are they, 3-2? That's another one of those teams that I think's just been playing with their food. They're flirting with being bad and maybe good. You go back and forth. You know, against Houston, suddenly that was a game. They lost. I mean, they lost to the Jags, but the Jags are much better. So what do we know? What do we actually know right now? 18 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, we'll do the lunch rush coming back. Here on the whole show, the top stories trending nationally in the sports world. Don't go anywhere. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, 24 minutes after 12 o'clock. Hope you're settling in, grabbing some lunch on your lunch break. It's time for the lunch rush. We hit the top stories trending nationally in the sports world. This one's kind of a two-parter. We all know what happened yesterday in the Panthers-Rams game. Interim head coach or interim coach, whatever, Steve Wilks, threw Robbie Anderson out of the game late in the third quarter after the wide receiver was in a heated argument with their position coach, Joe Daly, at the time. Wilks said, "No one is bigger than the team." After they lost 24-10, I'm not going to focus and put a lot of attention on one individual. Anderson got into a shouting match with Daly late in the first half, and then it opened in the second half with same kind of deal. Then he was on a stationary bike with a baseball hat on. Well, now he's gone. Now they traded him. Breaking news, somewhat. The Cardinals have now picked up Robbie Anderson. So Steve Wilks coming in as the interim coach replacing Matt Rhule. I guess he's trying to lay down the law. Anderson might be an okay player for Kyler Murray, man.
Yeah, and I think with Carolina, it's just a situation where no one's really happy there. The team's not good. The players are possibly looking to get out of Carolina while they still can. We only have until November 1st is the trade deadline. Yeah. So guys trying to get out of there, you're hearing Christian McCaffrey's name floated about, seeing what they could get for him. I'd imagine they'd want primarily draft picks and money. There you go.
There you go, man. Cleaning house a little bit. Interim coach coming in, making hay. The Jets beat the Green Bay Packers yesterday, 27-10. Crazy. However, the crazy thing was add an insult to injury. Rookie cornerback Sauce Gardner was wearing the cheese head. A Jets fan had one. A Jets fan's like hanging out with a cheesehead. I wonder where he got that cheesehead. Gave it to Sauce. He strutted off the field into the tunnel. The wrong tunnel. Went to the wrong tunnel, as it turned out. Gardner was caught from behind, so to speak, by Alan Lazard, who was there. And he knocked Gardner's block of cheese off of his head, creating a moment that kind of went viral there. Gardner said, "I'm definitely never going to forget this moment. It's a tribute to the Jets fans. They put it on my head, the Jets fans. I just had to take it and run with it." Lazard's, you know, he just basically said, "Sauce, that's a cool name." Said he wasn't bothered by the gesture. You've got to be bothered by the gesture. If you're a Packers player or whatever, you should hold some pride, man. Somebody's wearing your cheese hat. Where are the Packers going to go for the rest of the season? This is still a playoff team, right? Aaron Rodgers makes them. They're a playoff team. But are the Jets, is this loss to the Jets that embarrassing? Or, I mean, 27-10 is tough no matter who you play. Are the Jets legit? I don't think so. But if you're the Packers, man, you're pressing a panic button. Think of how bad things are going there. We're talking about Russell Wilson. And now you got a Packers team that's 3-3 that just lost to the Jets. They expected some pretty big things sticking with Aaron Rodgers. And obviously Devontae Adams leaves town. That was scary, but they still expected big things. I guess you kind of know Rodgers is somewhat close to the end. The difference between Broncos country and Packers fans, you're stuck with Russ for a long time unless you're willing to just take a huge hit. Cowboys, Dak Prescott is looking at week 7 for his return. He told ESPN, "That's my plan. Obviously, I got to see the doc, but yeah, that's kind of my plan." He's missed the past 5 games after suffering that injury against Tampa Bay. I think the question, again, Cooper Rush, they end up losing that game, but he's been pretty good for the most part. What we saw of Dak before the injury, Angel, he was bad. Tampa Bay, I mean, they weren't throwing the ball up and down the field that first night. They still win by double digits, and Dak Prescott looked pretty rough. So what can you expect from Dak? And is that the move? Now you got a loss, so you do feel, if you're Jerry Jones and company, you probably feel better, and Mike McCarthy, about making the change, knowing it's coming off of a loss. You'd hate to do it after. I mean, let's say Cooper goes and upsets Philly and they win that game and he has a good game. They can't make that move. So I guess now they probably feel a little more freedom to go out and make that move.
Yeah, probably feel comfortable with it, knowing you have a backup in Cooper Rush that can come in at any point and still, you know, keep you in games, win games. But we'll see what Dak can do coming off of injury to his hand or his wrist or his thumb or something. It's interesting. He bounces back of his bounce backs from injury haven't been too great recently.
No, and I don't know what kind of quarterback he is at this stage. You know, again, last time we saw him before he got hurt, he didn't look good. He didn't look right. And he's battled injuries for the bulk of his career. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Our Method Flow products poll question of the day, pretty easy one. Who you got tonight, Broncos or the Chargers? And it sure feels like a must-win situation. Now, key matchups tonight, Zach talked about it. This is one to watch, is Justin Herbert, not versus Patrick Surtain, but Damari Mathis and or Michael O.J. Mutia. With Ronald Darby out, this is going to be a key, hopeful player progression in Damari Mathis. Now, Zach's talking him up, and he's like, yes, for a rookie, he's pretty good. But that's the key phrase there, isn't it? I mean, just looking at him and expecting so much from the guy, that's, you have no choice, Angel. You have to have this guy play at a very high level and damn near be special, because you had a special play. Ronald Darby might not be the best cornerback in the league, but he was somewhat special for this team. When I say that, like, he's going to lock down receivers. You can put him out on an island and feel very comfortable. That's hard to do. Getting cornerbacks like Ronald Darby, very hard to do. And the Broncos are number one against the pass in the NFL. Don't you think that's Patrick Surtain, Ronald Darby, two of those major reasons? Now, getting Justin Simmons back tonight is huge. It's almost like a trade back here. You're losing your stud corner, but you're gaining your stud safety back. Damari Mathis has got to grow up quickly. He was a fourth-round pick number 115 for Denver, and now you want him to be a rock star. He's wearing number 27. Old Darren Williams, man. Darren Williams, a big Darren Williams fan back in the day, of course. But let's see if he can bring some of that back. Need to see him. I mean, you've seen him in spurts in the course of the season. But now's the time. Damari Mathis, Michael O.J. Mutia was another guy that we thought might turn out to be a pretty good corner. But the Broncos with Vic Fangio started going with the Ronald Darbys, the Bryce Callahans, the Fullers. They started getting those guys coming over, and that kept pushing Michael O.J. Mutia down the depth chart, and he couldn't really battle his way back in. Well, here's another opportunity for him going up against Justin Herbert. If you can keep that number one pass defense, if you can play like the number one pass defense tonight, you're going to give yourself an opportunity to win this game. But that's a big if. With so many injuries mounting up, mainly on the offensive side, but Darby's injury series, and then Josie Jewell being out. But you are seeing guys answer the bell. Randy Gregory was out against Indianapolis, yet this team found a way to get after Matt Ryan. I mean, they allowed 12 points. You look at what the Colts did yesterday, they scored 34 against Jacksonville. And I don't care if you guys don't believe in Jacksonville or not, scoring 34 points on an NFL team is hard to do. The Colts, the week before that, scored 12 on Denver's offense. Denver's defense. That is, again, speaking to how good I think this defense can really be. Matt Ryan, way different quarterback yesterday against Jacksonville. Night and day difference. So don't just throw it at me and say, yeah, but the Broncos haven't played anybody. They're still shutting down teams, though, and this is the NFL. You can hold an offense to just 12 points. I don't care who it is. That's a good defense. Matt Ryan threw for almost 400 yards against the Jags. Three touchdowns, 389 yards. He threw it 60 times. I mean, that's what you got to do when you don't have your star running back anymore. He threw for 250 yards against Denver, threw it 41 times, two picks. How they didn't win that game, again, I don't. Just awful offense. You got to have this offense get going. Figure something out tonight. And it's going to be easier said than done. I get it. But you got to help this defense out. This defense is on the field. And then, you know, you wonder at the end, people blamed the defense for letting the Colts run down and get that tying field goal, and then to run back down and get the ultimate game-winning field goal. Come on, man. This defense is playing lights out 90% of the season. They've had some moments. Yes, they weren't great against the Raiders, rushing attack specifically. They weren't great in that first half against Seattle. But outside of that, this defense has been very good. And you need to see that. You got to see it again tonight. Have to have it. But if your offense can keep them off the field for a bit, give them the necessary breaks, get this run game going, get Mike Boone and Melvin Gordon going. I know we talked a lot about fumbles before that Colts game. That's out of your head right now. Still got to protect the football, but that's not the narrative anymore. So maybe Melvin Gordon comes into this a little less tense. We'll see. 35 minutes after the hour, let's jump out real fast and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
It's getting a little bit colder every single day here in the frost warnings coming up, everything, man, which means you need to talk to my friends if you haven't yet or if you need to. Lemons Heating and Cooling. They're here to help out with the heater situation, make sure the AC was good, it did its job this year, let's put it to bed. Now's time to make sure your heater's up and running, because it was, I get up early, Angel, and I'm going out the door, and it was cold, and it's just going to keep getting, usually we get to Halloween, that's when the crappy time hits, and you got to have snow, and you have to wear a heavy coat over your awesome costume, every year. That's what happened. Lemons Heating and Cooling will help you out. 970-567-0798. Halloween's on a Monday this year?
Yes.
That's not cool.
Are we showing up to work in costumes?
Yeah, we probably should.
Make it mandatory?
Make it mandatory. Well, that'll be fine for Tanner because he wears a costume almost daily.
You just be a farmer. Come in with a cow.
Yes, come in with a cow. I think Halloween should be moved to Friday. Why not? Like, it doesn't have to be the 31st. Just make it the last Friday of October. Kids want to go trick-or-treat. You know, older kids want to stay out a little bit later. Older kids, like adults, want to have an adult beverage and watch something scary. That we could make that a Friday. That'd be cool. Let's make it happen, Halloween people.
We could just make it a hollow weekend.
Yeah. Get the week off. do you do the trick? Do you have trick or treaters? Do you have where you?
In my
is that
apartment
big
complex,
where you are?
No.
Probably not.
No.
People don't trick or treat.
I had
apartments.
A neighbor that had a little bowl of candy out by their door earlier this month.
Uh huh.
It's taking a, you know, Snickers bar every now and again, but the bowl's gone now.
Yeah.
I guess someone took it. So
we tried when we were in our condo. We were like, do we prepare? Because, you know, we're off the side. We're not like upstairs or anything. So we're like, do we put candy out? I'm a farm kid, so we never dealt with kids coming to our house to trick or treat. I would go to my grandparents' house late in high school, and I was like, this is actually really fun. So we would put it out for our condo. We were lucky if we got one. Not the case anymore. Our lovely neighborhood in Timnath is the Halloween capital of Northern Colorado, I think, because these people do Halloween and trick-or-treating, right? My first year there is like 6 years ago. It's like kid after kid. They're out playing golf carts, pulling kids around, all this stuff. And then it's like getting later, and then next thing I see, there's a horse and a carriage coming down the street, loaded up with kids. Guys, and he's taking them around, doing like $5 rides or whatever, and takes them around through the neighborhood, lets them out at different houses, then they pop back on. I mean, they do it right, and I love it. I don't do the open the door thing anymore. I seriously get a heater, get a radio, I sit outside, open up the garage, we have a little display, and I sit there, usually my dad comes up or whatever, because I don't want to get up every 30 seconds to hand out candy. It's wearing my door out, man. So I just bundle up. I sit out there till whatever, 9 o'clock, and just hand candy out that way. It's actually really fun.
Yeah, it saves you on electricity because every time that doorbell rings, that's $50.
The doorbell, the getting up. We don't have a dog anymore, but that was brutal because our dog would freak out every time the doorbell would go.
That was the scariest thing as a kid. Like, it's already terrifying enough going to a stranger's house and knocking
on their
door.
Oh, and then you hear the dog.
Or multiple dogs, and you're just like, oh, please don't open this door.
Oh, yeah.
I have a bag of chocolate and sweets here.
Yeah. No, I was... What was one of the things, like, that you remember trick-or-treating? Like, was there just an epic house? Was there an epic candy giver? Terrifying dogs? What was it?
I went trick-or-treating with a group of friends back in, like, elementary school, and this one house had like, three different bowls set up, but the bowls were covered. And you had to stick your hand into the bowl, and it was like zombie guts or like jelly eyeballs or something. But you couldn't, because you're kids, you know, you just believe that there's a bowl of eyeballs here.
Yeah,
you're feeling around, and it was just like slimy and just the weirdest thing. And as a kid, I'm like, that was disgusting.
But you remember it. It was fun for you, right?
Yes.
I love that stuff. We had a guy that would do, he's an older guy, and I just loved this guy. I mean, I never knew him. But we just went to his house every year. And so, like, us being on the farm, my parents would drive us in, and they'd either take us around, or the older we got, we all just kind of left from my aunt's house or whatever. So we go to this house. He always had this giant fake pumpkin out front, and it was the talking pumpkin. So the old guy would sit in his living room. He would plug in a speaker and put it inside the pumpkin, and he would have his microphone sitting there. You couldn't see him. He could see you. And he would talk to you as you walked up.
That's awesome.
It was so freaking cool. We all talked about it. I think we called it Charlie Brown's pumpkin or whatever, because that was just, I don't think he even officially named it that, but we all just called it that. So you'd walk up and he'd comment on your costume and you'd go, how is he doing this? That was the best thing.
It's magic.
Oh, so great. Halloween is a great time, man. It's so much fun getting out and seeing the kiddos run around in the costumes and stuff. But it's going to be on a Monday this year, so have at it. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Don't forget, we'll have the Clay Millen Show coming up at 1 o'clock. And when we come back, actually, Angel, we got to hit our future headlines, too, by the way. We'll do that to wrap up this segment. Now, do you remember what your future headlines were Friday? Brand new segment we're doing. One of them was something about the McCaffreys, right? McCaffreys cooking?
Yes, the McCaffrey trio shocking the Big Sky. That did not happen.
Did not happen.
Happened for a half.
We were thinking, oh my goodness, what is this? But second half's been rough for
this. CSU one kind of went, I said at third first, string magic happened in FOCO, but it wasn't the Rams' third stringer. It was
Aggie's third stringer. So maybe. Well, and I was getting texts that were like, dude, this quarterback's pretty good. Is he going to threaten taking over Clay Millen's spot? And then the rest of the game happened. Listen, this offense just isn't there yet. I mean, Kevin Lytle told me on Rams Weekly earlier in the week that, you know, Matt Mummey's pretty confident that it usually takes 6 to 7 weeks before this thing actually takes hold. So we'll see. If Clay can go against Hawaii, what was the other one? Is there Broncos one? We don't know yet.
Broncos one, but it's still being edited right
now. We're still working on it. Still working on this story. News is always changing. You started working on the story on Friday, and now we're going to find out what happens tonight. So when we come back, let's get to future headlines on the other side. It's an exciting week, though. The Avs are two games into their season. They're back at it on Wednesday, I believe. Or is it tomorrow? Tomorrow. And then the Nuggets start their season on Wednesday. And college basketball's a few weeks away. My goodness, it's going to be a blast. So we'll have a lot to pick through when it comes to future headlines. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Future headlines.
So, here's what's going to happen.
Here's your headline. Some companies still know how business is done.
You take the pictures, I'll make up the headlines, okay? All right? That okay with you?
Hot off the presses here, Brady. Got three potential headlines for you today.
Ooh, okay.
As we finalize our weekend recap of sports.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what we have cooking right now. Chef Wilson presents new pumpkin turnovers.
Meaning he's going to turn it over a lot?
Maybe not a lot, but a couple times.
Bad shoulder. I mean, it's possible. It's possible. But if I'm Nostradamus-ing this thing, I don't think Russ... I don't think Russ is going to turn it over much tonight where it would be any kind of a story. So I'm gonna say no. I don't think so.
Okay. Next one here. Lightning strikes thrice in Los Angeles Stadium.
Meaning they get...
at least three touchdowns.
Okay. I think... that could happen. Yes, that very well could happen. Whether that's a Broncos win or loss, that could very well happen. Yeah.
Last one here. Los Angeles police struggle to nab white Bronco.
Meaning the Broncos win, right?
Possibly.
Okay.
Maybe kind of a last-minute sneak-out win?
Oh, boy. That is... I mean, I know I already made my picks, but... Yeah. Why not? Sure. Have a little fun. A little play on words there with OJ's stuff, too. Let's have fun with that. Yes. Okay. I'll give you that.
All right.
That's going to happen.
I will pass that down to my editors. We'll see that on the front page tomorrow morning.
Do you remember what yours was Friday?
So, it wasn't positive, I don't think.
It wasn't.
Something with Russell cooking or... bad review on a food dish or something.
Yeah, it was something like that, wasn't it? Okay, First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Give us some of your future headlines that could, in fact, come to fruition tonight, leading us into the morning. Is there any, like, major... we need some more, like, positive ones about Nathaniel Hackett. Or negative.
Hackett,
think of it on the fly.
Proves to be a hack.
Oh, yeah.
That's a little easy.
That
to
was
get.
Good, though. I liked it. Nathaniel can't hack it in L.A.
There you go.
Or Nathaniel can hack it after all. Russell Wilson. Lonely. I don't know. I was saying something with Wilson, the ball, castaway. Something there. Bronco. Oh, Eastside Chris. Broncos fans tear down goalposts. Do we do that in the NFL? Those things are...
I don't know if that's allowed.
I don't think it's allowed. Those things are...
player safety issues.
Yeah.
College, yeah, sure, do it.
Someone
cares about the
like,
players or the coaches.
Try to take that bad boy down. Oh,
the
be...
CU ones went down very quickly from what I saw.
College
when I compare
goal, yeah.
CU and Tennessee's goalpost removals, Tennessee had the spectacle, but CU got theirs very quick. Like, it almost went down immediately.
They've probably been practicing that for, like, 5 years.
Maybe they just loosened the bolts on it.
We need a big win. And whenever we get one, we're going to take those things down. Let's practice it every week.
Things are expensive.
Bet you they didn't predict Cal would be that big of a win, though. There's no way they do that if they would have won a game before that, right? Like, if they would have beat Air Force or something?
Probably not.
No. Well, we need this one tonight, Angel. I'll tell you that, man. Need this one. Okay, I was wrong, by the way. The Avs play tonight. Any headlines for the Avs? Who's starting tonight?
My hockey guy is out of the building right now. He's getting lunch.
Avs haven't played. Like, they played two games right off the bat, and then we went all weekend without seeing this Avs team roll. Huh? I would imagine it's going to be Georgiev between the pipes tonight. Because it was Frankie last time, but that was a back-to-back. Does he lose his job tonight? That might be. No, it won't be tonight, but there is a possibility that Francois is the starting goalie at some point. That has been something that's floated out there. 12:57 the time. All right, we'll take a short break. We're switching gears. We've got the Clay Millen Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza coming up next. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.